Before we get into today's episode, I want to quickly tell you that ESPN and Anscape contributor Dominique Foxworth has a new podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. Dominique is bringing you his unique perspectives on football with the personalities surrounding it. So check out the Dominique Foxworth Show. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Adam Schefter podcast. We are through 4 weeks of the NFL season and on to week five. And with week five, we will be joined by the pioneering agent, Lee Steinberg, a man who's had quite the journey in the National Football League and who is a part of the team that represents today Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and Cowboys quarterback Cooper Rush. Lee will be by to talk about the NFL's concussion policies, his clients, and other topics relevant to the game today. And of course, many of the topics involve quarterbacks. And heading into week five, we have some tremendous storylines, many of them, of course, surrounding quarterbacks. And we start with the game in London on Sunday morning between the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers, who will be playing in London for the first time, making Green Bay the 32nd NFL franchise to play an international game in the regular season. And the big question, as we tape this midday Tuesday, will be which quarterback will Green Bay be facing? Because the Giants' regular starting quarterback, Daniel Jones, is nursing a sprained ankle. His backup, Tyrod Taylor, has a concussion. Their practice squad quarterback, Davis Webb, could be and probably will be promoted to the active roster and potentially could wind up starting this game against the Green Bay Packers. And the Giants are off to a tremendous start right now, but they don't know who's going to be playing quarterback on Sunday. And they're going to be going up against a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who has a lifetime career 5-2 record against the Giants, losing in the 2011 divisional playoffs and 2012 week 12 matchup. But he has 21 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in his last 7 matchups against the Giants. We'll see who's at quarterback for the New York Giants. And then there are, of course, quarterback questions in New England with the Patriots, who are hosting their assistant coach, Matt Patricia's former Lions team this weekend. Now, let's go back to last weekend. The Patriots quarterback, Brian Hoyer, who was filling in for Mac Jones, who's nursing a severely high ankle sprain, gets a concussion. So no Mac Jones, no Hoyer, and the Patriots have to rely on their rookie fourth-round pick, Bailey Zappe, who they really like a lot, but ideally you'd not have to send him out there to play extensively in his first NFL action on the road in Green Bay against the tough Packers defense. But Zappe almost pulled off the upset. And so now we'll see who the Patriots wind up starting this week against the Lions. I think Mac Jones is going to be pushing to play this week, despite the fact that he's still physically not ready. We'll see whether the Patriots turn to him, whether Hoyer will be recovered from his concussion, or whether, in my mind, as we tape this midday Tuesday, Bailey Zappe is in line to make his first NFL start, despite the fact that Mac Jones probably will wind up pushing to play in this game. But it'll probably come down to those two. My guess is we could see Zappe on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. The Dolphins already have ruled out Tua Tagovailoa for their matchup against the New York Jets, which means that Teddy Bridgewater will start against the team that traded him to New Orleans. Teddy Bridgewater versus the Jets. And the Jets signed Bridgewater in March of 2018 following his injury with the Vikings, that devastating knee injury. They wound up trading him to the Saints in August 2018. We'd like to say this was a revenge game, but very few people even remember that Bridgewater wound up playing with the Jets. But this Sunday, he'll get a chance against the Jets once again. The Houston Texans are starting to have some questions at the quarterback position. Davis Mills finished last season very strong, came into this season with actually some heightened expectations, but the Texans have struggled lately and haven't played particularly well. Davis Mills is going to need to pick up his play if he's going to avoid the Texans using one of their picks to draft a quarterback up high. And the Texans have won 8 straight games against the Jaguars, which is their longest streak against the Jaguars in franchise history. The last time the Jaguars beat the Texans was in week 15 of the 2017 season, but they're going to need Davis Mills to play better than he has. As for the quarterback news with the Pittsburgh Steelers, after insisting that Mitch Trubisky was his quarterback and would be his quarterback this season, Mike Tomlin made the change mid-game against the New York Jets, turned to Kenny Pickett, the rookie first-round pick, looking for some spark, looking for some energy, looking for some production. And on Tuesday, Mike Tomlin made it official that this is Pickett's job. What could be an easier way to start your first NFL game than doing it in Buffalo against the Bills? Tough assignment for Kenny Pickett, tough upcoming schedule for Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they are up against it with a rookie quarterback now leading the way for Pittsburgh. And it's interesting because the Pittsburgh Steelers have been such a stable organization in so many ways, at quarterback in particular, during Ben Roethlisberger's career. But now that Ben is retired, they have some quarterback instability. They're hoping that Kenny Pickett solves that, answers that, and comes to the rescue in a tough matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Keep in mind that this would have been a homecoming for Mitch Trubisky, who was Josh Allen's backup on the Bills last season. He then signed a two-year deal with Pittsburgh in March that included $5.3 million in guaranteed money. So Trubisky has that money, but no longer has the starting job for the Pittsburgh Steelers. More quarterback questions and drama in Dallas, where on Tuesday, the Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, declared that Dak Prescott, who had been eyeing this upcoming game at Los Angeles against the Rams for his potential return, is not ready to grip the football enough to come back. And so once again, it will be Cooper Rush making another start for the Dallas Cowboys. And Cooper Rush has done exactly what he needed and was supposed to do. He has held down the fort until Dak Prescott has gotten healthy. And in fact, he's probably exceeded the way that many people expected him to play. Now, it'll be a big game for Matthew Stafford, who went to high school in the Dallas area, Highland Park High School. He's 2-3 against the Cowboys, and he's lost three straight games against them. Now he'll get Cooper Rush. The Rams are coming off a tough Monday night loss. We'll see how that works out, but more quarterback questions with the Cowboys, turning once again to Cooper Rush. And the thinking is that Dak Prescott will have a chance to come back next week for a rather large NFC East showdown, with Dallas playing at Philadelphia against the lone unbeaten NFL team right now, the Philadelphia Eagles. And so those are some of the central quarterback storylines as we head into week 5. And a man who is privy to many of those storylines involving Cooper Rush and Tua Tagovailoa is the pioneering agent, Lee Steinberg, who took some time from his schedule to talk with us. Lee, what's going on?
Oh my God, just another day in paradise.
Really? Everything going okay?
Yeah, things are good. Yeah.
By the way, I see over your left shoulder a picture of you and Tom Cruise and Cuba Gooding.
God, where would that have come from?
Again, just to set the record straight, was Jerry Maguire based on you or was it not based on you? What is the deal with that, Lee?
It was based on time that Cameron Crowe spent following me around.
Okay.
So in 1993, he asked if he could follow me to pick up atmosphere for a film based on a sports agent. So in 93, he went to the NFL draft where Drew Bledsoe was the first pick. And wherever I went, he sort of followed me and listened to conversations and sometimes was involved. And then he went to the league meetings where I was showing Tim McDonald off as a free agent. And so he was I would go out to dinner with Jim Irsay. He went and he watched me selling him to different teams. And at one point they went up into Tim's room at the Palm Desert Resort, and Lou Dobbs and Moneyline was on in the background, and Cameron asked Tim what he was looking for a team, and Tim said, I'm looking for a team to show me winning because I've never won. I'm looking for a team to show me respect. I'm looking for a team to show me a killer contract. And Cameron wrote, show me the money. And then he went to a lot of games with me. He went to the pro scouting day at USC. He went to spend time in my office. He went to my Super Bowl party. And I told him stories, lots and lots of stories. And it's not autobiographical because I started with the first pick in the draft. But, you know, some of the stuff got mishmashed into various things. But then I was technical advisor, so I had to vet the script to make sure the willing suspension of disbelief that holds you in a motion picture didn't get broken. And then I took Cuba Gooding Jr. with me down to the Super Bowl and made him pretend he was a wide receiver. He had to hang out with Amani Toomer and Desmond Howard all week. And actually had to show the quarterback, who was played by Jerry O'Connell, how to throw a spiral because he had gone to NYU and they didn't have a football program there. And so there was a lot of life up there, but I agreed with Cameron not to talk about, you know, what specifically was what. So
you've now done it 48 years. You've got a number of quarterbacks in the game today, which we'll get to. Patrick Mahomes, Tua Tagovailoa, Cooper Rush making a charge in Dallas. A lot of great quarterbacks right now. We're going to get to all of them. But what is the biggest change in the game that you've seen over the 48 years of representing players?
Well, when I started, the game was run on first down, run on second down, and maybe pass on third down. So it's the development of the modern passing game where it's wide open game. The biggest changes off the field are the expansion of three television networks to hundreds of alternatives. So it means massively more games on television, massively more television revenue, more highlight games, more fantasy, the development of fantasy, the internet, which now makes the currency, the number of followers someone has on TikTok or Instagram. It's players having control over their own brand. It's the massive new stadia with jumbo scoreboards and naming rights and luxury boxes and premium suites. It's gambling and it's new integration. So I think we'll see pari-mutuel style betting at stadia very soon, where you'd be able to go in and place a bet on who is the first, who wins a coin toss and who gets the first touchdown. And it's virtual reality and your ability to put yourself into the game and so many different ways to enjoy sports. It's the fact that at a certain point in late August, you can see people walking down the street with pizza boxes and beer, and you know they're going for the fantasy draft, right? It's 41% of the viewers being women for football. It's the fact that 71 of the top 100 shows last year were NFL football, which means it's not only the most popular sport, but the most popular form of televised entertainment in this country. And college football right behind it. It's, this country's gone NFL football crazy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam. You mentioned you've represented 64 first-round picks, 12 Hall of Fame players, 8 number one overall picks. When you look back on negotiating all those deals, what's the one deal that stands out to you most of all, Lee? There has to be one that you remember.
Warren Moon coming back into the NFL after having been in Canada for 6 years. There was a certain prejudice among part of this fraternity in the NFL that said an African-American quarterback didn't have the intellectual capacity to play the position. And so Warren went to Canada for 6 years, but when he returned, there were three leagues that were competing to sign him, the USFL, the NFL, and about 12 different teams. And so he went on a nationwide tour. And because he was the first real free agent, he signed the biggest NFL contract in history and went on to eventually go to the Hall of Fame. And right before that, I had signed Steve Young to a $42 million contract with the USFL. So those contracts came bam, bam. And so that was the biggest contract in NFL contract overall in sports history, and stayed that way until Mahomes later on.
Now, you bring up Mahomes, one of your clients today. You've had quite the season because three of the players that you represent, and I'm apologizing if I'm forgetting somebody in advance, but they are Patrick Mahomes, they are Tua Tagovailoa, and they are Cooper Rush. What a crazy season it's been for you. What has stood out to you most of all about it, Lee?
Well, your heart has to be with Cooper Rush because, you know, someone who's sat there as a backup and now all of a sudden he gets a chance and he's 4-0 and he's cool as a cucumber. The stage is not too big for him. And all of a sudden the season that would have augured disastrously for Dallas, they're winning games, and he's the nicest guy in the world. And it's been a great season. Last night we had Talanoa Hufanga jump a great pass, and he's in the competition for Defensive Player of the Year. We had Jeffrey Wilson Jr. score a touchdown, and it's just been a fun season. And Patrick performing acts against nature and flying through the air. And, you know, it's just been a lot of fun.
When the Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott went down and people were forecasting doom across the league for Dallas, what was going through your mind knowing that Cooper was stepping in?
That he'd be fine because there were a couple seasons where he led the preseason statistically, and every time they put him in, he's been fine. And last year in Minnesota, he led a comeback drive. And does he have the strongest arm in world history? No. Is he going to run and scramble around like Lamar Jackson? No. But he's smart. He makes the right reads. He's not going to make stupid mistakes. And he's just Joe Cool out there, and you know, he'll be fine. And again, it if your players are surrogate sons of yours, you couldn't be happier.
Knowing all you know about quarterbacks, and knowing that Dak has a long-term big money deal in Dallas and thinking that he's going to be the guy, I don't think that's illogical to deduce. What happens with a guy like Cooper Rush, and what do you expect at him? Is he a starting guy in this league, Lee?
So let's see how long the run goes. Depending on when Dak comes back, it's obviously Dak's job, and he's a franchise quarterback. And so it depends how long the run is here. If it goes for a while and you see starting quarterback concepts here. It's not every team that's totally satisfied with their quarterback, and we'll see what the market is.
What about Patrick Mahomes? You did the deal for him, what, 2-3 years ago, in the summer of 2-3 years ago?
Yes.
And how do you think that's going to hold up here? And is it going to be time at some point to revisit that deal?
You know, it's about the last thing that anybody's worried about. The history of franchise quarterbacks is that their deal holds up until it's in the interest of the team to restructure it. So it's farthest thing from anybody's mind, and it'll take care of itself.
And as many quarterbacks as you've represented, from Steve Barkowski to Steve Young to Warren Moon to Troy Aikman to Patrick Mahomes to Tua, where does Patrick rank in terms of his ability and his talents and the career that he may have ahead of him, Lee?
Well, he could be the best of all because he got started so fast. And to come out and be the MVP, his first year. But quarterback greatness is judged by the ability to take a team to and win the Super Bowl. So, and he's got a great future ahead of him. I mean, remember Troy Aikman, because they had a strong running game, his stats would be 17 for 22 or 23, 225 yards, two touchdowns, but he won three Super Bowls. And so, ultimately, at the end of it, quarterback greatness is judged in that way. And even though it's not all the quarterback's ability to block for himself and do the rest of it, still that's the thing. And Patrick is really young. And based on Tom Brady, you know, could be playing till you and I are very old and very gray.
And we already are. We already are late.
True. But the point is that, you know, he could turn out to be the best of all because he's really in his quarterback infancy and he's already won a Super Bowl and the team's really good. And he works so hard in the offseason and wants to get better.
When did you know that he was different and what was it about him that made him stand out to you?
His work ethic, the fact that he had the drive to get better and that he was totally committed to it. And Patrick was like the iceberg where you saw the tip of the greatness, but you didn't see what was underneath, which was an unrelenting desire to use every day to keep getting better and better, like a sponge that kept wanting to learn and wanting to be the best and be better. And oh my God, that arm. I mean, it's just, there was a time when he was back at ESPN doing what they call the car wash, which is doing every show. And they have a walkway that's between two buildings. So to elevate the ball above it is really a difficult throw. And to just be able to loft it above. Well, on the other side of it, they had a chair and sitting in it was a dummy. And Patrick threw the ball above the walkway. And that in itself was a prodigious act. And it landed in the lap of the dummy in the chair. And it's like, did I just see that? Or that pro scouting day, he was on the 25-yard line on one side, and he threw the ball through the end zone on the other side. And then he was in Dan Patrick's studio one day, and there was this rotating dummy of Dan Patrick, and he hit it on the nose. And I was like, all right, what can't he do?
And they knew that, the Chiefs, right away. Everybody, they were waiting on him that entire draft, as were a few other people, by the way.
It was a marriage made in heaven. Because really, what you care about is the long-term future of a client. So I always laugh when a player gets picked higher and he's going to a really poor team with bad ownership and bad structure and bad coaching. And you look at him like, oh, my God, you get this one moment of happiness on draft day followed by struggle. The key to winning in sports is the quality of ownership. It's stability and a long-term plan. And then it's a front office that does every one of those roles really well, drafting and scouting and signing and managing the cap and all that. And then a coach with a plan that and stability in the whole thing. And you go to that sort of organization, and I don't care about the cap or the restrictions for parity, that group will always win.
So you have an idea when somebody's drafted, where he's drafted, about whether his career has a better or worse chance of success.
Right. I mean, if the drafting in reverse order and the cap restrictions, better teams having to discard players, better teams having not as much room to sign free agents. If all that worked to create parity, how do you account for the New England Patriots going on the run the way they did? If parity restrictions worked, then every team ought to be in the basement, go up, have a couple good years, go back down, and certain teams just sit at how did Ben Roethlisberger retire after 18 years? Without one losing season.
Well, people say it's Mike Tomlin too.
Yeah, the organization. That shouldn't happen.
Right. It's the quarterback. It's the coach. It's everybody working together in a stable organization with the great ownership like the Steelers have had so that everybody comes out looking like a winner.
That's the team you want your player to go to, whether they're number one and around or number 10.
So Kenny Pickett is in a good spot to succeed.
He is.
And we'll see how that works out. Now, I'm not going to ask you about Tua and his condition, but I would like to ask you about where you think the NFL's concussion protocol program is going to go as a result of your client. What do you think will happen with the protocols here moving forward? What do you look to see in the future?
Well, I think it's just got to get stronger and stronger in terms of protecting players. Long-term health is the first key. Being hyper-protective, an understanding of second concussion syndrome. And it's any system is going to have gaps or mistakes, but the health of the player is the number one concern.
What is it like for you as an agent to watch your children, as you describe them, like a Tua, like another player, go through a challenging experience? What is that like for you personally?
It's the hardest part of representing athletes, the injuries, the rest of it. And I don't want to look, I've been speaking out on these issues for 30, 35 years and held 17 concussion conferences. So my views on all this are pretty clear. I don't want to complicate any current situation in any way, but my views on this have been expressed in articles, concussion conferences, and all the rest of it.
What about the idea of being an agent in a day and age like this with NILs used in recruiting and changing the nature of the agent game? How much has that affected your industry?
It's a revolution. Since July of 2021, the whole world of collegiate sports and the world of agentry turned upside down, because until this point in a sport like football, because a player could not come into the draft until 3 years after his high school graduated, we wouldn't meet players until at least their junior year. And now all of a sudden, someone can start to brand and market themselves in elementary school, in junior high, and certainly in high school. So they can go ahead and hire a marketing agent at any point and brand themselves. And if we don't meet that next hot high school quarterback at an early point and sign them, and someone else does who also represents athletes, we may never get a chance to talk to them. And I've never been prepared to talk to people at that young an age. And so pretty soon there's Hogue Hospital over there, and they're going to have agents looking for healthy mothers, you know, talking to them about future rights. So it's a revolution. And I anticipated that it would be more than just quarterbacks, but did anyone anticipate that Jack would give 15 stipends to athletes named Jack with the first name, or that Phil Knight would get every athlete at the University of Oregon a stipend, or that major collectives of alums at many schools would get together and through their businesses that they own, unleash massive amounts of money for the athletes at their school, and that money would be used for recruiting. So what's happening now is an athlete wants to go to SC or Alabama, and the alums or the school can tell them, if you come here, we've got $2 million in NILs for you, and it's legal. So the point is, it's been a hurricane of largesse, and so the NCAA could have forestalled this by giving stipends of $5,000 or $10,000 to athletes who had need on the college level, who were having problems living on their scholarship, wanted to go home for Thanksgiving or wanted to have a sweater or a car or something, and they wouldn't do it. So California 3 years ago passed SB 206 that said California athletes could market themselves at the collegiate level. Every other state got scared and pressured the NCAA, and last year the floodgates opened. So now we're in the business of either signing talented collegians and high school players to NILs, or risking never signing them for the pros.
It reminds me, it makes me think of that old SportsCenter commercial where they've got that young kid on the SportsCenter anchor desk and he's not ready to do it. And they say, you're not ready to turn pro yet. And he's probably 13, 14 years old. Do you find yourself now talking to some kids that are 15 years old, like just in a totally different universe than you've been since 1975?
It's completely different. And think about this. It used to be that, take a quarterback like Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was struggling, and it all came together for him his senior year. And in his senior year, he elevated it. His reading of the field came together, won the Heisman, was first pick in the draft. Today, the Carson Palmer is 12 years old. His father spots him. He gives him a quarterback guru. He goes and plays in 7-on-7. He's ready, and he becomes Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow, and he's ready to go his first year. So that young quarterback is spotted at 13 or 14, and now somebody signs him to an NIL, and he's professionalized at an early point his whole college career. Remember, when you heard Nick Saban say of Bryce Young, his quarterback, before he had ever played one down of college football, that he had gotten $1 million in NIL. Nick Saban, who always classically underplayed his next prospect, he's young, he's inexperienced, don't put too much pressure on him. Right. $1 million, what was that about? That was about recruiting. Come to Alabama and you can make $1 million. So the game was on.
What it makes me think of is back in the day, we always heard about Todd Marinovich's father grooming him to become a quarterback. The quarterback eventually became at USC as a top recruit, became a first-round draft pick for the then Los Angeles Raiders, and basically, for various reasons, burnt out, flamed out before his career ever could become what he had hoped it would be. I wonder if in a day and age like this, we're going to see more of those types of stories with these quarterbacks being groomed at the young age they are, in addition to all the stories of the Justin Herberts and Joe Burrows and the rest of the quarterbacks that are shaped to be the great players they are today.
Well, I think this is more a factor of emotional maturity than it is of physical readiness, because they certainly are being coached well. There's a whole cottage industry of quarterback gurus that are now teaching high school kids and college kids. So in addition to having a high school coach and a collegiate coach, they have a private coach. And so who's getting them ready, working on technique, working on the rest of them. And that's who's coaching them for the combine and the pro scouting day. It's the same person who's been with them for a number of years. And because the game of college and pro football has become so quarterback-centric, you cannot win without a franchise quarterback. And let's define that as someone that you can win because of rather than with. You can build around for 10 to 12 years. And most importantly, someone who, in adversity, they've thrown a couple interceptions. The crowd is booing. The game's getting out of hand. What does the quarterback do then? And the critical factor is, can they compartmentalize, adopt a quiet mind, and elevate their level of play in that adversity to take a team on their back and to and through victory? If you realize that four NFL playoff games came down to the last play about 6 months ago, the last play. Now, if you went, Adam, to Las Vegas and you bet on that occurrence, you would now own a hotel casino. But but that's where football has come to. It's a third of the game are blowouts, and two-thirds of them are coming down to the very end of the last quarter or the last play. So to have a quarterback who can do that for you is the key to winning in contemporary football.
You're talking about all the changes in your industry and the sport in general, and it makes me think of the changes in my industry, how it used to be that you would file a story to a newspaper at 7 o'clock. It would be on your doorstep the next morning at 6 a.m. to read, and the news cycle wouldn't begin until that next newspaper was delivered 24 hours later. The changes in my industry are as dramatic and radical as the changes in your industry and the changes in the world itself and the sport itself, and nothing like the business that you entered 49 years ago, that I entered 33 years ago, Lee.
So there was a story. I'm not going to tell you the writer's names, but I was doing a negotiation for a top quarterback, and there were two competitive newspapers in town. And one newspaper ran a story that said, quarterback team are close to signing a new pact. And the writer from the other paper called me up and said, we're supposed to be close. How could you have given that story to the other person? And I said, the story's wrong. We're not anywhere near close. And he said, but how could you have given that scoop to the other guy? I said, did you hear me? We're not anywhere close. The story's wrong. He said, my editor's yelling at me. I said, the story is wrong. He said, I can't believe you did this, and hung up the phone on me. Well, it was like he got scooped with the wrong story.
It's a crazy world that we're living in these days, right?
Yes, exactly. I scooped him by not telling him something that would prove to be completely wrong.
Will the day come soon enough, Lee? Will you just stop doing this? Have you had enough of it? You're going to keep doing this till the day you leave this earth.
I'm doing many other projects. I have, we're doing another agent academy where we train young in Las Vegas next month. So we're training the next generation of young sports professionals. We're teaching them how to recruit, how to negotiate, how to do branding and marketing, how to do a charitable foundation, how to do damage control.
And where can people get information about the Agent Academy, Lee? If they want to go, where do they find? Where do they sign up for
that? It's November 13, 14, 15, and go to SteinbergSpeaks.com.
There you go. Hey, Lee, thank you for your time today. Thank you for all your service. You've had a legendary run here, and obviously it shows zero signs of slowing down.
My pleasure.
There is the pioneering agent, Lee Steinberg, who has been around this game for an awful long time, seen an awful lot, and has some strong opinions on a lot of different topics. And we have some strong opinions on the travel that occurs during the season. Now, I know people don't like to hear other people's travel complaints, but at this point in my life, it's become almost a joke as to how something has gone wrong. It's gotten to the point where everybody who's traveling on the Monday Night Countdown crew, from Susie Culbert to Booger McFarland to our great researchers, Evan Kaplan, Jacob Nierop, nobody wants to go on the flight that I'm on any longer because inevitably I have some sort of travel jinx where something is always going to go wrong. In week one, when we flew to Seattle, opening week of the NFL season, booked a flight, get on the flight. You think that the airline would have TV on a cross-country flight to Seattle? No, TV is not working. TV's not working, Wi-Fi's not working, so we cannot watch nor track the week one games that we're supposed to be talking about on Monday night. On the return flight from Seattle, a red eye, a weekday red eye. Get on the flight, and who's sitting directly in front of me? None other than a happily married couple and their six-month-old crying infant directly in front of me. 2 hours of crying on the red eye, preventing me from being able to go to sleep. This week, flying out to San Francisco, cross-country red-eye. Book flights specifically for television. I ask ESPN's travel agents when they book the flight, can we just confirm that there's TV on this flight before we book it? And they confirmed it. And so we get on the flight on Sunday, Delta Airlines, no TV. No TV on a cross-country flight in 2022. How is that supposed to happen? Spotty Wi-Fi. So for those people saying, well, go sign on to Wi-Fi and watch it that way. Well, it doesn't always work. And so it's gotten to the point now where people that I work with, they're finding out the flights that I'm on so they don't have to travel with me because I am the travel jinx, the walking travel jinx. We'll see what happens this week on a trip to Kansas City for a big Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Raiders. Not looking forward to not having TV or Wi-Fi on the flight out to Kansas City because it's almost assuredly going to be the case. And then, of course, the next week we travel to Los Angeles. Should be more travel hijinks. Can't wait for that. All right. Before we get on to other topics, first a word about some fantasy hockey. The NHL season kicks off on opening night, Tuesday, October 11th. Steven Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning head to the Big Apple for a conference finals rematch against Jacob Trouba and the New York Rangers at 7:30 Eastern. Then, in West Coast fashion, Mark Stone and the Golden Knights face off against Anze Kopitar and the Kings under the bright lights of LA. Two great matchups take the ice to start the NHL season on ESPN and ESPN+. That is hockey. Sign up now for ESPN Fantasy Hockey. Create a league and play all season long. Go to ESPN.com/fantasyhockey. Or the ESPN Fantasy app today. And there's some fantasy hockey, but the truth of the matter is, I love fantasy basketball. And we have our NBA War Room Draft, Tuesday night, October 11th, one of the most anticipated nights of the year. There aren't many people who get more excited about a fantasy draft, be it football or especially basketball, than me. And I want to give a special shout out to my friend, my helper, Mike Gallagher of Established the Run, who is my personal advisor, who I turn to with guidance on each pick that I'm going to make before I make it. We come up with players that I like to target, and I love NBA fantasy basketball and the ESPN NBA fantasy app. This is not even a read. This is real life stuff, and nothing matters any more to me than my NBA fantasy basketball team. I was on the phone with an executive of another NFL team this morning talking about how much we love fantasy basketball because he plays it too. And I drafted his team's draft order this weekend while we were in San Francisco. And I said to him, the best part about that night is you essentially marry up with certain players and those guys are with you for the next 4 to 5 months. I can't wait to see which NBA players I'm essentially married to for the next 4 to 5 months. God, I love that. It is unbelievable. He was trying to convince me to get the NBA pass, the season-long pass, and I would do that, except I'm very frightened that my wife will wind up divorcing me. If I get the NBA season pass, oh, she may not hear from me again at night. And so when it's time to put our children to sleep or talk to them about their days, I'll be busy watching the Sacramento Kings and Indiana Pacers late night to find out if my guy's able to get some extra steals, block shots, or assists. So that's my life, just to provide you a glimpse. Travel goes wrong. NBA draft means everything. And we get ready to do these podcasts each week. And with that, I want to thank the pioneering agent, Lee Steinberg, for his time. I want to thank my great producers, Christina Buswell and Sarah Abbott, for putting this podcast together. And I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in and putting up with me complaining about travel and my anticipated hopes for our NBA fantasy draft on Tuesday night, October 11th. Hope everybody has a great week. Enjoy week 5. Be well and stay safe.